Welcome to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate the Swifty.
I'm not so Swift Sam.
And we're here today jumping into a debut album. So much Taylor content to discover.
Taylor.
Oh yeah.
Was there a departure version of Taylor where she's like, I'm no longer Taylor, I'm Taylor?
Well, we're gonna put a pin in that one until we get through the song and then I'll help explain it.
Okay. Because now I'm getting an idea of, like, this is her Beyonce moment, not Beyonce Knowles.
It relates to Saturday Night Live.
Okay, this is from the debut album, correct?
Yeah, but this theory is from current day.
Okay, this is a theory that exists now as opposed to in the Wayback Machine.
Yes.
All right. For those of you listening, I might be a little slow on the download today. Instead of getting an iced coffee, I was given an iced tea. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my darndest. It's not the high octane fuel that I'm used to. This is more elegant and nice and hydrates. And I'm just like, nope, give me crude, please.
I did lecture him. I told him he would be fine.
Oh, you did. You did.
To be fair, I've also given you coffee today.
That's very true. I had a coffee and they were like, we need more coffee. And
I was up too late last night.
Why were you up? You're usually better behaved on a Sunday than I am.
Well, yeah, no, I was home. I was home.
But you were just up.
I was watching The Summer I Turned Pretty on Amazon.
How was it?
It's so good. Mm-hmm. There's five episodes? Taylor songs in it.
Oh, Taylor songs. So is it an Amazon movie or is it a TV show?
TV show.
Okay.
It's based on the books The Summer I Turned Pretty, which was written by the woman who wrote To All the Boys I Loved Before.
I dedicate this song to you. Okay. Different thing.
Different.
I have so much TV to catch up on. I have not binged in a year and a half. Like since when last summer when like pandemic was winding down was the last time I like dived into stuff. I have not. Haven't watched any of yet. The Boys is back. So many things I haven't watched.
You got to make time.
Haven't watched the Downton Abbey movie.
Oh, I haven't either. I don't get it.
You know what I don't get?
What?
Taylor Swift.
So I know. Here we are. And you know, that might just cause me to burn your picture.
Okay. It might just be because it's iced tea. It might just be because it's debut. But going into this, I don't know if the cards are stacked in her favor. I think they might be stacked against.
Oh, wow. Boy, am I shocked. Just so surprised over here that you don't think you're going to like baby country Taylor.
I mean,
I can't even imagine why.
New Romantic surprised me. So maybe this will surprise me too. Picture to
New
burn.
New Romantics, a synthy pop off the album that has the one song that you've loved before.
Well, when you remind me what the title of for today's episode, I started singing Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow as opposed to I burned your picture today. So, you know, maybe it'll confuse me enough that I'll enjoy it. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe the iced tea in me is going to help me get through Taylor Swift. Taylor.
You know, here is hoping that we will have back-to-back episodes where I am pleasantly surprised.
Maybe we'll pull the hat trick back-to-back-to-back.
Oh, a three-peat, kind of like my little Warriors.
Yep, the GSW's winning it all in the NBA.
So great, still in such a great mood.
Yeah, lots of fans in Portsmouth. Very angry. Yep. Kitchen staff irate. Bartenders crying. Kate smiling and just like twiddling her fingers to being like, yes, excellent. I told you, Kendrick Lamar in even years.
It's a proven theory. Kendrick Lamar releases an album, the Golden State Warriors win the championship.
If it's an even
number. Nope, doesn't have to be an even year. It's if, then, or what.
Wait.
So Kendrick was the exclamation point on my theory. San Francisco teams are more likely to win in an even year. They always win when Kendrick Lamar drops an album.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of friends right now. Yeah. Real popular.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. The I told you so's are going over real well.
Never bet on your favorite team.
I did.
Talking to Boston fans.
Oh, well, that's their problem, not mine. Anyway, so at this point, because I'm sure people will be burning my picture, we're going to hit pause, listen to this song. You hit pause, and we'll be back with commentary from the non-Swift side of the table. Well, Sam, That only took me 4 takes to get out.
Riddle me this, Taylor fans out there. This is the second song off of debut.
Yeah.
For my blind ears and eyes, and yeah. also for Jason's. This is the, in his words, the first country song we've heard her sing, which this was...
Well, I think it's the first one that sounds like a contemporary country song.
That I will...
Yeah, it's very Dixie Chicks.
Let's readdress and say that this sounds like the first contemporary, which at the time...
Was.
Early... Well,
I mean, Teardrops on My Guitar sounds like a country. Or Tim McGraw sounds like a country.
See, even that, I'm going to disagree, especially with the contemporary part. Like, this is very much, you know, you have banjo, you have fiddle. Your drum section is mostly cymbals, then to the hi-hats. The bass is very subtle. You have a four-chord acoustic guitar playing, and then you have your electric guitar. This is very much, by definition, your broad-spectrum country from the 2000s.
This is like a baby mean.
She's trying to channel Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks in this track specifically.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, she was trying. You're right. She was trying to channel it. We'll leave it there.
This is a moment where she is learning.
Yeah.
When you're an artist, a musician, and you're trying to emulate your heroes, this is a clear example of that.
Yeah.
And this is where she moved on from this to where she is today. She has created her own image and her own way of singing and her own way of creating, but it's based off of her earliest influences. And this clearly sounds like a Dixie Chicks song mm-hmm. from when I was listening to the Dixie Chicks before they became the Chicks. You know, but it's a good... jumping off point for her.
Yeah, it's fun. It's sassy. It's she's writing about a relationship that ended that never really was a relationship. So mm-hmm. a situationship.
And a little bit of predictive text. So go ahead and tell your friends that I'm obsessive and crazy. That's fine. But meanwhile, I'm going to say this.
That's yeah.
True to the course, her writing style has very much stayed in a similar vein.
Well, and it's a slightly problematic line that you've skipped over. I'm going to tell them about your sexual preferences.
Wait. State the obvious. I didn't get my perfect fantasy. I realize you love yourself more than you could ever love me.
No, so go on and tell your friends
that I'm obsessive and crazy.
That's fine. I'll tell mine you're gay. And by the way.
That's fine. You won't mind if I say by the way.
It's all the way down.
What?
All the way down at the end. Get that far.
Yeah, because I'm starting at the turntables right now. You usually hate how I pick and choose. I'm going off of like the fourth line.
I thought that's where you were going with it. And like that's really a big thing right now, because what is she going to do with this lyric when she re-records? Is she going to keep it? Wait. Is she going to make it more politically correct?
I'm sorry, where is this in the song?
Are you both looking at the same lyric sheet?
I'm looking at a different one. You're looking at it on Genius.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm looking at it on the Google.
Maybe it got taken out.
Lyrics page. This is interesting then.
So maybe it's not going to be in the... maybe you have the re-recording lyrics on there.
Maybe, but...
updated lyrics.
To be in your defense, when I do my radio show every week, I forget sometimes that I put songs in my set list, and then I'm like, oh no, is there any questionable lyrics mm-hmm. in this song? And then I have to quickly zoom, and I have quickly zoomed I'll put in a name of a song, lyrics, quickly zoom it on Google, whatever the first one is. And sometimes it's not right. And then all of a sudden something happens, like an F-bomb that I forgot was there and I didn't see it in the list. And I'm like, oh boy, FCC is coming after me.
So you'll appreciate this, especially at Massimo's downstairs. It's pretty much Tony Bennett Radio. It's the playlist. It's very much Italian America classic. Upstairs, we have a bit more control over the radio. And we've had moments where people would get scared because they're like, oh my God, they're about to play Notorious B.I.G. or this. It's like, no, you're just hearing the sample. This is the original track from a different song. And then sometimes Pete's walking away. He's been playing DJ. A song's going to come on. I'm like, oh, I have 10 seconds to change this before things turn real quick because the algorithm is picked into this. So I can totally understand the need to edit on the fly. This, if it's say or gay, very decisive.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't.
Did she get picked apart for that lyric?
This was in 2008, so not really. Really? I mean, some people mentioned it, but remember where we were in 2008. Mm-hmm. Like, we've come a long way in 15 years.
But has she ever been, has anyone ever interviewed about her, and what has she said to cover her ass?
I have not seen an interview about it. I have seen articles, Reddits about it. There's a lot of curiosity as how she's going to re-record this. We've talked about this when we did Better Than Revenge, where she says the girl is better known for things she does on the mattress. How's Taylor going to kind of deal with, work with the different parts of her discography that are problematic? Lizzo just had a problem with it, with her song Girls. She had to go in and re-record a line. So it's still happening in today. Artists are still learning and hearing and figuring it out. But at what point are we getting too sensitive, too, like this?
So here, this is an interesting mechanic of the idea. Because we're talking about censorship. The artist is trying to create the focal lens of a person that's sometimes themselves, sometimes not.
Yeah.
It's the art. And a lot of times the consumer will look at it and say, well, this is just reflective on the artist and not necessarily the character that the artist has created. So yes, if you're making content that people are visualizing and saying, this is just a reflection of you, then you're going to be like, oh crap, what do? I have to edit this or whitewash it or do something to get rid of it because it's my image. And then there are times when people are like, well, no, that's not the case. That's this. It's like a Dire Straits.
Well,
and there's the radio edit and there's the extended edit. And people are like, yeah, but still, it was the 80s. And they're saying this. It's like, yeah, but that's somebody being like, this is what I think about rock and rollers at the time.
Well, and also, I mean, you have to put yourself back into where we were as a culture and society in 2000, probably six.
Oh, yeah, totally.
When she was writing this. And how that was a word that was part of the vernacular that people were always saying as a less than great thing. And now where she is today, where she's an advocate for that, for everybody and their choices, where you're just, and they're the way they are and encouraging them to be their authentic selves. There's such a dichotomy now between the two Taylors.
Well, right. The lexicon of words that you use in everyday conversation definitely changes, especially from mid-2000s forward. Mm-hmm. The idea and growth as a person and your experiences once you travel. I mean, the farther one travels, the less one really knows. You think you have it figured out when you're 16, and by the time you're 32, you're like, no, there's a lot of different people in the world, and everyone should be able to be them. Yeah. Perspective changes, your global view.
Yeah, when you leave your small Pennsylvania town and you go into, you know, the, for lack of a better word, real world, and you see there are people who are different than you are, or different than what you grew up with, and you start to learn to be accepting. It's a journey I think a lot of people take.
So this is seemingly, it has one of the, an interesting line for me, a line that I really liked, which was, so watch me strike a match on all my wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like that's the kindling.
Yeah.
And now the conversation is this one line that I'm thinking like, oh, say, and you're like, nope, it's gay, is the kindling for the fire that people are like, you know, 15 years later, more than that. So do you want, well, how are you going to approach this? What are you going to do? Yeah. Do you stand by this?
No, she doesn't.
I mean, you're 16.
I mean, she was probably
15.
Yeah, 14. Like, she's a baby when she wrote this song.
This isn't the cop out moment, because the cop out moment's going to come in a second. What, your brain is still developing until you're in your 20s, like literally, I mean, chemically,
yeah,
and philosophically.
Sure.
When you are 14, you are picking up what kids in their older teens are saying, what young adults are saying, what the TV, radio, what your family's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when it comes to writing, and like you were saying before, this sounds like a very Dixie Chicks song, you are influenced by things that you are when you're creating that you aren't even truly aware that you're doing of. Mm-hmm. And then there are the moments that you're like, yes, this I want this to sound like that. Like where every third line she like drops her sing song. It's like, ma-da-da-da. Like try to do that weird belty. There are moments where you're definitely trying to do that. There are moments as an adult where you have your Stephen King cocaine binge where you don't remember writing Cujo because it's you're literally like, no, I was on drugs the entire time. This isn't one of those moments. This is just a child who was trying to do something. They wrote it their way.
It rhymed.
It rhymed.
It was a burn.
And it was, it's like, yep. But as an adult, do you say, do I re-record this or not? I'd be like, nope, I was 16. I decided to write that for better or worse. It definitely does not age well. Not a great move. But yeah, that's what I had.
And I think it's, I mean, this is why I think the Taylor re-recording is so fascinating, because she's going to be singing the song now 15, 16 years later, recording it, releasing it with what she knows now, how her voice has matured now, how her, the production has matured. What is the song going to look like when we hear it again? And how many artists get the chance to go back and kind of atone for their sins?
Yes. But that, so that's the thing though. Atonement, I think, can be done in a different way besides redoing your art. She could be like, you know what? I'm going to drop that song from the album. That could be.
For one line?
So that's what I'm saying. If
like,
you're gonna,
why would she, like, that does make sense to me.
So, but that's the thing is like, instead of going back and saying, like, well, no, I changed the line now so it's better.
Well, I mean, the line's already changed in the lyrics you're reading. So that's already happened.
Right. So if it's just, if it's through that atonement, that attrition, if you're being like, I'm really sorry for this song that's been out there for over 15 years, if it's like, I'm sorry, I'll change the line. Wouldn't you rather say like, you know what, this whole song offended people because of this one thing, we'll just take it off.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. It doesn't. It makes sense to me.
Okay. And I'm trying to like follow this rabbit hole. With you.
It is not that deep. This is like
it's not because it's one word. So like
right.
But it's so one word of a song from a time period where that was okay.
Right.
And to go in and be like, I understand that this particular choice was not okay.
Yeah.
But and I've changed it. She should drop the entire song.
Because it's not just one word from a time period where it was okay. It was one word from a time period where that was normalized to say something like that.
Right.
And so we're saying now in the present day, looking in hindsight. Yeah, I don't appreciate that.
But if it was the theme of the song and belittling or denigrating him because he was gay, sure.
Or starting at the time incendiary rumor or something like that.
Right. But right. Like.
Yeah. That's not for one would be like, this person's the devil.
That's not what this song is about.
Okay. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is if. We are apologizing for the use of one word.
So you think she should not, and this is not me, but you think she should just drop this song?
If I was in the position of being like, I created something that's making all these people feel this way, maybe instead of redoing Star Wars and taking Jar Jar Binks out, I'll just be like, I'm just not going to re-release that part. I'm not going to do that movie again. Let it be there. It's in the ethers. If you want to listen to it, you can listen to it, but... I'm not going to redo it again. I'm not going back to that page.
It feels very extreme.
I mean, yeah, but so does the offense. Offense, in my opinion, can really only be taken. It's hard to just give offense.
Like, people aren't boycotting this song.
Okay.
It's not.
Right. No one needs to. They can if they want to. They don't have to. They don't need to. But I'm saying is. If there are people that are trying to address this with her, or if she's addressing this herself.
I don't actually think people are trying to address it with her. I think there's been a lyric change. I think people understand that there's been growth. There's a history of her learning and being open to rectifying her what she didn't know, and then championing and moving forward and really encouraging other people to be accepting and authentic to who they are. If she hadn't done any of that, sure, absolutely, rake her across the coals. But what a 16-year-old says, I mean, if we go back into some of your early day comedy sketches,
yeah,
Were they all things that wouldn't offend people?
Of course not.
Were they like one line of one sketch you could never put up on YouTube again because you made an unfortunate word choice once?
I rarely do my Bill Cosby joke anymore because the subject matter pertained to something that was accurate and present today and then.
Right.
This is, and for one, I would go on stage willingly to do that because majority of the time when you're doing comedy, you offend people. They would say if half of them are laughing, half of them are booing, you're doing it right. Of course. Of course. And because you have to take a chance and do something, offense is easier to be taken than it is given. You don't know what's going to offend people. With this line right here, I'm not trying to say, how dare this 16-year-old girl? I'm saying, yeah, I understand why she would do that. I understand how that happens. The osmosis of where you're born, how you're raised, all these things that change your culture and your view at that age. Pennsylvania girl.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
I'm not raking her over the coals as a 16-year-old or saying now, but I'm saying is, yeah, if I was the artist and created it and people had an issue with it, I could have the option to say like, yeah, kill switch. Drop the song.
I think that would be doing her discography a disservice.
Okay, that's fine. I haven't listened to the entire album. Yeah. Do I think that this album would be missing anything by this song? It's contemporary country. It's Taylor early. It's not my least favorite song. I just don't find it as like, it's not quintessential.
I don't think you could make that comment though.
That the song is not quintessential?
Right. Because you don't know anything else about this album, really. You've listened to two other songs.
That is why I'm not so swift.
I know.
It sounds to me like the
but I think
the blueprint for the majority of some of these songs that people would pick apart and say it's about relationship.
Sure, but it's also the starting seeds of Mean. It's her playing with banjos and big country songs, contemporary country. It's her learning to write about things in her life in a way that's going to get blowback. It's her learning to realize what you can put out there and bring back. This is a very unfiltered 16-year-old writing about this half relationship she had. It didn't end up panning out. The guy dated somebody else. She was upset about it. It's kind of like that first, like, okay, like you get to be mad about things. Let me channel it into my art. And I think that you have to know where you started to know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And this planted a lot of the seeds of her moving forward with her career and the songs she was writing. And to see the beginning stages of that and to be able to see to where we are today is important.
Yeah. No, growth is important.
And I think that when you start being like, well, there's this one thing from all these years ago, just get rid of it. If they want to find it, they can. But then you're missing out on that whole trajectory of her songwriting, her stylistic choices, how she's been influenced by country in the past, and really where she was when she jumped onto the stage. If it was her album and she's where she is now, would she have done it this way? Would she have recorded it to sound a lot like Natalie Maines and the Dixie Chicks? Would she have been a little different with it? Like, how much was the record label influencing her? Or did she do this one all on her own? And this is maybe the album we would have got if they didn't need radio contemporary songs. Like, there's so many parts of the conversation that this song fits into that I think throwing the baby out with the bathwater here, when you can show people too that I've learned, this is a really great way to be like, look, sometimes in life you make mistakes. Here's how you can fix it. Here's how you can show you've learned. And throwing it away and throwing all that history away is the equivalent of taking your history textbooks and not talking about the terrible parts of our culture.
So that brings up a fantastic point.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess my question, I just question.
Yeah.
Then why would we edit it?
Because I do think that it's important to show that you were wrong. And I think it's important to change things so people understand that being gay is not a negative thing. And when you use it as a negative thing, whether you mean to or not, you include that stereotype and you continue adding fuel to that fire. And if we've learned nothing, like, we know now how damaging that can be. And the young kids listening who maybe aren't sure who they really are yet hear that. And that just pushes them farther back into not being able to be their true self. there's a lot more at stake here now. And people, I mean, kids are struggling more than ever with mental health. We don't need to continue certain dialogues.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me because we've gotten to a point where I feel like we've gone so far on the other end where we're like, no, we can't talk about what we did there. Get rid of these statues, get rid of these stories, instead of being like, yeah, let's talk about this. Here's where we messed up. And here's how an easy fix to how we can never do that again.
It's so crazy for me just to, we're talking about looking back to 2006, 2008. Look where we were, look where we are. My verbiage and wording and everything definitely needed a change and was changing at the time. We're looking at a song that came out where we're saying, like, yeah, people would say this at the same time that Lady Gaga is coming out and she's very much the pageantry and trying, like, the little monsters and everything. Mm-hmm. And the going into, we're seeing, it was a pivotal point where we're seeing LGBTQ plus entering media and at the same time being pushed to the forefront of like what's in the news as a negative or a positive. And it's the political cycle and everything. And here we are 15 years later and it's still the same thing.
I actually don't agree with that. I think when we were, back in 2006, we had just had a whole election that centered around states banning gay marriage.
Yep.
And now that's really not a topic of conversation. The Supreme Court stepped in, law of the land. You know, you have the right to marry mm-hmm. whomever. It's a very different place than we were then. I think it's also very different where it's okay to walk down the streets of Portsmouth holding the hand of whomever you want to hold hands with. At 16, that's okay. And we definitely weren't there in 2006. We weren't there in 2010. Like, to watch people really be able to be themselves and to come out and to understand who they are at a fundamental point so early now where you don't have to like get out of college, get out of your parents' house. Like, oh, I'm like, am I going to get bullied at school? Like to have some of that stigma, I mean, not that it's all gone, but to have some of that stigma removed, that's huge. Like we've come so far, like has the vitriol in the political sphere? No. Will it ever? Probably not.
Probably not.
But like culturally, there's Pride Months. There's, you know, all of these celebrations and all of these now resources for people that we didn't have then. And I think she's learned. Taylor's been at the forefront. She came out in several elections about gay rights. You know, I think there has been really a trajectory of the culture and Taylor and people around us learning. And I did not expect this to be the entire podcast this week.
Same.
I think maybe there's more to the song than this. So, I mean, it's a fun track too. And so I would hate to see this fun little bop from her early years where she gets a little sassy and she's not crying about the boy. She's like, you know what? Burning your picture. Done with that. You wouldn't let me drive your stupid pickup truck, you little redneck.
I actually don't think that it's bad that you guys had this nice debate about one song lyric. It's educational and people need to know about it.
I mean, going to this, I'm looking at this lyric sheet in front of me. I had no idea that was even in there.
See?
Wouldn't even know that it was, you know, in any way, shape, or form discussed already. I think the song is of itself. It's if you look at her entire catalog, it is a blueprint song, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a building block moment, and she's also learning to not emulate other people, but she's far from becoming the Taylor. Can we get into that real quick to end on a different note?
I mean, I almost feel like that's a huge conversation in and of itself, and we should put a pin in it till next week.
You're going to make me wait a week?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well,
What you can do in the meantime? You can catch up on The Summer I Turned Pretty, and we can talk about all 5 of the Taylor songs. It's so sweet. It's just such a cute little show. Such a cute little show.
All right.
Next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like sitting on my couch in my pajamas. Gotta go to bed.
All right. Why don't you? I'm gonna get the dice ready.
I lead such an exciting life these days.
I'll get the dice ready.
Oh, baby Taylor. Do you need some help with that?
I'm good. It's not the first time I've opened up this tiny, tiny bag. All right.
All right. We've got our dice back this week.
Got our dice back. We are rolling randomly for the album and the song. I got a 16, but let's just divide it by 2. Is that an 8?
That is an 8.
Okay, album 8. Because there's not 16 albums, right? If there's 16 albums today and I have to find that out next week why there's 16, I'm going to flip.
No, there's still 9 albums. Okay. Sam, if there had been a major album drop like that, you think I would have been as calm as I have been all day today?
I don't think we would have been talking about the summer.
No, I would not be talking about Miami.
Sam, good news, everyone. 12 more albums.
We went from baby Taylor to current Taylor and a roll of the dice.
Future Taylor came and was like, I have news for you, Taylor.
Right. Here we go.
Which is album 8? Which one is that?
Folklore, the first of the Cottagecore.
Song number 1. Sorry, let's try it. Song number 1.
There's the enthusiasm I was looking for. It's aptly called The One.
Okay.
I always like when you roll a one. It's so easy for me to like, oh, this is the song we're doing.
Well, in the show I use with the dice, whenever a one happens, it means like you have failed completely. No one can change anything that's happening. You have, in the worst, most spectacular way, failed. That's where all the comedy lies in that show.
Like, well, maybe all the comedy will lie in this song. We'll have a lighter discussion next week.
Maybe it'll fail forward into my heart.
Oh, dare to dream, since we did not have a repeat this week.
No repeat.
So Picture to Burn, not a bop.
It's mid-range. It's not the worst thing. It's not the best thing. It's not a foul ball. I'm just like, I'm not into it.
But not against it.
I get why. I hate everything that it stands for. I get why people like it. It's just that's never been my cup of tea. That music's never been my cup of tea.
All right. Well, I'm Kate the Swifty.
I'm not so the Sam Swift. Not so Swift Sam.
Thank you. If you haven't already, follow us on the socials. We have been posting slightly more than we used to. And make sure you have liked, followed, subscribed, rated, reviewed. For us, your feedback is our favorite.
Yeah, find out about our next dance party. Find out about our next brunch. Oh, yeah.
So excited about our dance party coming up. There's going to be a balloon arch.
I'm leaving.
On that note, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with The One.